Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. In this, the second of two conversations about issues facing transgender people, we visit once again with Eli Ehrlich, a woman who was born a male, and her mother, Dr. Carla Longchamp. Eli Ehrlich is the founder and executive director of Trans Student Equality Resources, based in San Francisco, California, and also a student at Pitzer College in Claremont, California. Dr. Carla Longchamp is a family physician in a rural Northern California community. In our first conversation, which is available at radiocurious.org, our guests shared their family's experience when Eli realized she's female. In part two, we discuss support for transgender people, what is available, and how to find it, recent societal changes, and some medical issues. We begin with Eli Ehrlich describing what Trans Student Equality Resources is.
Trans Student Equality Resources is an organization that provides vital information to youth about trans identities. And we also provide other services like workshops, speeches, and working with media on different information.
I understand you're one of the moving forces behind this group. So it's located where you are?
Well, we have different members in different states like Washington, Illinois, and here in California. We're primarily online, although we do work with individuals who may happen to be in areas where our members are.
You're located in Claremont, California as a student at Pitzer College. How does working with transstudent.org fit into your university studies?
Well, a lot of what I study in school is sociological, and I can relate it back into my work in the larger queer community. And it's really been educational for me to work with individuals from a diverse number of backgrounds who are trans and sometimes are not trans.
So what is the work that you do?
It's, well, lots of things. Primarily, I work with media as a representative of TSCR, especially recently with the School Success and Opportunity Act, which allows transgender students to have access to facilities and programs that correlate with their gender identity, as well as casework for people that email us at transstudent.org.
Can you give us examples of programs and facilities that correlate with their gender identity?
The bill is primarily marketed as something for sports teams and restrooms, although it really covers a lot more than that.
What additional areas does it cover?
Well, aside from sports teams and facilities, this bill also covers, say, a gender-segregated field trip or a health class. This may be not a big deal for most cisgender or not trans students, but for someone who's wearing a skirt and identifies as female, it would be very awkward and humiliating to put them in a health class with a whole bunch of boys.
And this is currently the law in California.
Yes, we just got this law passed in August. And, well, while I'm really proud that we have this in California, I have to say I wish it was law when I was going through school.
The other aspect that's happening now in January of 2014 is the circulation of an initiative petition among the voters of California to put it on the ballot to withdraw that law.
And that's very unfortunate that it is circulating. And while it is getting a lot of press coverage, it's very unlikely that it will pass with the amount of false signatures that it's received.
Is there any effort to combat the signature gathering and the possibility of it being on the ballot?
Yes, we are I mean, not just at Trans Student Equality Resources, but also at other organizations like Transgender Law Center and GSA Network, we're working with media to show the general public who these students really are and that this bill will help these people and will save lives.
What is the GSA Network?
GSA Network, or Gay Straight Alliance Network, is an organization focused on queer youth empowerment for making the U.S. a safer place. I've worked with them on different events like Models of Pride and Queer Youth Advocacy Day. They're very helpful for youth, especially here in California, and they've passed several laws that have been very influential.
So tell us the work that you do, Empowering Youth and Queer Youth Advocacy Day.
Queer Youth Advocacy Day was essentially a training and lobbying summit in Sacramento where we visited with different representatives and spoke with them as queer youth about laws that would really affect us.
Would you identify yourself as a queer youth?
Yes, absolutely. I'm very positive towards the word queer. It's very inclusive and a lot shorter than gender and sexual minority, which is the other all-inclusive term.
So where do you go with this kind of work? What are your goals?
Well, I really hope to continue my work well into adulthood. I hope to be involved with queer advocacy organizations and maybe get into politics when I'm older.
The Transgender Law Center. What is it? What do they do?
Transgender Law Center is a legal organization focused on helping trans people across the globe. They're really excellent. They've done so much to help the community.
What sort of help do they offer?
Well, primarily this will be legal advice, although they do quite a bit of legislative work as well.
In California and?
Primarily it's in California, although they have supported bills all over the U.S.
When you're engaged in this effort, what sort of resistance do you meet?
Well, sometimes there are people who go to these events who aren't supportive and attempt to protest. I have received personal attacks online, but of course nothing too threatening to me. There's the referendum movement against the School Success and Opportunity Act, which is very unfortunate to see a group of people bullying and harassing youth for their own political gain. It's been unfortunate seeing these groups, but in a sense, it inspires me to work harder because I realize that anyone can be taught that we're people too, and we do need justice.
I would like to comment on that.
Carla Longchamp?
So a lot of the general population, many people really cannot think beyond male and female. They have this idea that there is male and there's female, and it's all about how they look when they were born. And having gone through raising a transgender child and being a physician and understanding a little bit about biology, I realized that that's just plain wrong. One out of 1,500 children are born intersex. That means that they have an XXY gene or some other kind of variation of sex-related genes, or they have anatomical differences in their bodies that make it difficult to know, are they male or are they female? And there are people who live their lives as a gender identity that is opposite what their chromosomes are because they are intersex, not because they're transgender. And this is the way it's been since the beginning of time. There haven't been any major changes. It's just that it's more visible. And so what I hear sometimes is, a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. And so I'm just going to like throw out this whole transgender business. I think it's a bunch of crap. And, you know, it's just like, that's just not true. And it's never been true. And if you ask any biologist, they'll tell you it's not true. So I like that's the core of the resistance. People just, they don't understand it. And, you know, they may feel a little threatened by it. And it may be scary to them. And so my message to them is that I kind of know where they're coming from, because I had some of that resistance myself when Eli came out to me. And I had to deal with it. And I had to go through looking at my own resistances. And you know, it took me a long time to get over it. And then I did. And now it's not only just fine, it's also, it's beautiful, the diversity of human beings that we have and how they express their identities. And I love it. So
you mentioned the term intersex. What does that mean?
So intersex is a whole bunch of conditions that are kind of lumped together. And it can include somebody who has kind of a misassortment of chromosomes during development, early fetal development. Or sometimes it means that there's been some anatomical development where they're not, you can see a boy that's born without a penis, it looks female, or you may have a boy that has, you know, totally no genitalia or has congenital malformations, significant congenital malformations that where there was no way of telling what gender they are at birth. And there are some children who are born with androgen insensitivity syndrome, which is another kind of chromosomal defect.
Carla Longchamp, I want you to address the issue of this whole concept of intersex and transgender as being more visible. But before we go there, I'd like to say that in this edition of Radio Curious, we are in part two of our conversation with Eli Ehrlich and her mother, Carla Longchamp. Eli is a student at Pitzer College in Claremont, California, and her mother, Dr. Carla Longchamp, is a physician in a small Northern California community. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Carla, you're saying it's more visible. What's the change?
Well, I think that in terms of being a parent of a transgender child, now parents have access to information. They know that if their child is brought up in a household where they are not accepted, they have a much higher risk of suicide and other bad outcomes such as homelessness and depression. And so parents are really starting to stand up for their kids and advocate for them. And I think that from my perspective, that's been the biggest change, is that suddenly we now have all this information and we can really help our children have meaningful lives and happy lives.
So what would you attribute the availability of the information to?
Oh, it's the internet.
So if we go back 20 years, it's a whole different scenario.
It was a whole different scenario 10 years ago when I started on this path. I had very, very little information at my fingertips. Now, if you Google transgender child, you will have amazing resources. People who will help you almost instantly navigate the situation.
Eli, from your perspective with a trans student and being a transgender child, what's your reaction to the homelessness issue, the high risk of homelessness, the high risk of suicide among your peers?
Well, I agree that the internet is definitely a big source of why these issues are becoming more visible and also going down and not being as frequent. But the trans community is still in need for a lot of justice, a lot of, and it needs a lot of work.
Carla Longchamp, can you talk about family acceptance of this issue in general and or in your own family?
Well, first of all, there are some really interesting studies that are coming out of San Francisco State University done by a woman by the name of Caitlin Ryan. And what she has documented is that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender persons who grow up in households that where they are accepted for who they are have a suicide rate that is basically average for the whole country. Those that grow up in households where they are not accepted have three times the rate of serious suicide attempts. And for transgender students or transgender children, it's actually 41%. So that's a pretty important piece of information. Secondly, I as a personal, my personal experience with family acceptance is that I was not at all sure how my father, who was a very conservative Christian, was going to respond when he learned that my daughter was transgender. And what he did when we told him that she was transgender is that he came right back at us and said, "Can I send her a welcome granddaughter card?" And what we learned was that he obviously and very clearly knew how distressed my child was. And to suddenly understand that, yes, there was a reason, and yes, it was treatable, and she was going to be happy, and it was such a huge relief to him. And he is still a very conservative Christian. And my daughter has changed his life and his perspective on humanity. And I've seen that right and left in families. It doesn't always happen. But I really believe that if your heart is open and you truly love, that you will understand what this is and how important it is to accept these children.
Eli, in your work with trans student, have the issues of suicide and homelessness arisen?
Yes, those are definitely big issues with some of the students I've worked with at Trans Student Equality Resources. Sometimes this could be from teachers outing students, their parents, and the students being forced onto the streets. It could deal with youth not being accepted by anyone in their community and just asking for help in some of the trans groups that I run on different social media sites and through Trans Student Equality Resources.
Do you find that aspects of any particular religion or approaches to religion from a fundamentalist point of view, as opposed to a libertarian point of view, affect the family's support or lack of support to a transgender child?
I think that sometimes fundamentalist religious views can contribute to this, but one fun fact that I learned along the way in the past few years is that actually Jesus himself condoned eunuchs, who at the time were transgender women, and actually advocated for support of them. If someone is a Bible fundamentalist, then they actually should be supportive of trans rights.
Carla Longchamp, from your experience as a physician and your studies, would you address the issue of hormones and the effect that they have on a person who chooses to be transgender with the assistance of hormones?
First of all, I just want to correct you. It's not a choice. A child who affirms themselves as a transgender child is transgender. And I want to address that starting at childhood, because what I think that the general population needs to know is that transgender children or gender variant children can start treatment just before puberty begins. And treatment is generally hormone blockers. And hormone blockers have been used in precocious puberty for decades. And they are very, very safe. They block the development of puberty. And they allow that child not to develop into their chromosomal gender, and allows a little time for that child to develop mentally and emotionally, and until they are ready and clear about their gender identity. And typically, these hormone blockers will be started anywhere between 9 and 11 years of age, and stopped at 15 to 16 years of age, at which time we know that that child is very, very likely, unlikely to change their mind about what their affirmed gender will be. At that time, they can start taking cross hormones and develop the secondary character, physical characteristics of their affirmed gender.
When you say around the age of 15 or 16, they're unlikely to change their affirmed gender, how do you know this?
Well, there are studies, and most of them are out of Europe, that confirm this.
I'd like to ask you both to share with us the resources that are available for curious people about this issue and for people who are transgender.
For those people who are curious about transgender issues and transgender children, I would strongly recommend they read The Transgender Child by Stephanie Brill. For those people who have family members, loved ones, or who are transgender, I would recommend going on the website of the Center of Excellence for Transgender Health, and that is at University of California, San Francisco.
And Eli, are there other resources beyond Trans Student that you could recommend to our listeners?
Well, aside from TSCR's website, there's also, for trans students, GSA Network at gsanetwork.org, and also Transgender Law Center at transgenderlawcenter.org.
And about you, your goals?
I'm just a freshman in college, so I don't know too much, but I intend to graduate and continue my work in the trans community and hopefully become more involved in politics as I get older.
I think you may have answered the second of the closing questions as to what you would like to do with the rest of your one precious life. Let's go back to the first question, which is a eureka or an aha moment that changed your life.
I don't really think I had one of those moments, because my life has just been a continuation and a compilation of previous experiences.
And is there a book that you would recommend to our listeners?
I'd recommend Whipping Girl by Julie Serrano, which is a really great piece on transgender women.
And Carla Longchamp, is there a eureka moment or an aha moment in your life that you could share with us?
Well, I think I did share the moment that occurred after I went to my first transgender health conference and realized how wrong I had been about my approach to my own child's needs. And I had to come to terms with a very uncomfortable realization that I had allowed a certain prejudice to creep into my approach with my child. And that realization, it humanized me. And it made me realize that how much I am alike so many of the people who I dislike because they think differently than I do.
And what would you like to do with the rest of your one precious life?
Well, I am currently enjoying a moment of an empty nest now that my daughter has moved out. I think that my experience raising my child has got me on the path of I'd like to see more justice, social justice for persons of all LGBTQ persons. And I feel like it's very likely that the next 10 years I'm going to continue working on educating myself and others on transgender issues.
And finally, is there a book that you could recommend to our listeners in addition to Transgender Child by Stephanie Brill?
One of my favorite books is an autobiography by Jennifer Boylan. The name of it is She's Not There, A Life in Two Genders. This is a very, very well-written book by a professor at Colby University. She's transgender, and this is her autobiography. And it chronicles her lifelong struggle and gradual transition to becoming her true self.
And I might add that there is an interview with her on Radio Curious in our archives.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Really?
Well, Eli Ehrlich and Carla Longchamp, thank you very much for being with us on Radio Curious.
Thank you very much, Barry. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having us on.
This has been the second in two conversations with Eli Ehrlich, the founder and executive director of Trans Student Equality Resources, based in San Francisco, California, and also a student at Pitzer College in Claremont, California. Our other guest is her mother, Dr. Carla Longchamp, a family physician in a rural Northern California community. The book Eli Ehrlich recommends is Whipping Girl, A Transsexual Woman on Sexism and the Scapegoating of Femininity by Julie Serrano. Eli's mother, Dr. Carla Longchamp, recommends The Transgender Child, A Handbook for Families and Professionals by Stephanie Brill. And she also recommends She's Not There, A Life in Two Genders by Jennifer Boylan. The 2003 Radio Curious interview with Jennifer Boylan is on our website. There are over 500 archive editions of Radio Curious on our website, www.radiocurious.org, where they're free for you to stream, download, enjoy, and share. We appreciate your curiosity, ideas, comments, and questions. You may reach us by email. Our address is curious@radiocurious.org or snail mail 280 North Oak Street, Ukiah, that's UKIAH, California 95482, or by phone 707-462-6541. You've been listening to Radio Curious. Christina Onnestad is our associate producer, and I'm host and producer, Barry Vogel. Thank you for listening.